Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to call a special council meeting, budget review meeting, to order for May 29, 2018. You have an agenda that has been published and distributed. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? And if there are none, I'll accept a motion to approve.
I move we accept.
Moved by Councilman Lewis, seconded by Councilman Neal. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Before turning this over to Mrs. Mitchell and her team, I just wanted to offer just a brief comments of thanks for the work that was put into this. I've been at this for a little while, and I am not one for hyperbole, but I would say that I believe this is perhaps the most solid and transparent budget that I have seen in all the years that I've been here. It hits all the marks that we've asked of our staff to have it hit. It's the result of council providing kind of strategic direction and staff doing the heavy lifting to deliver on that vision. As you have seen, there are no proposed tax increases, and the only increases in rates are supported by the data from the rate studies that we commission so that we can satisfy our rate payers and our bond covenants. As I mentioned, it's probably as transparent a document as I could have hoped for. It's certainly as transparent a document as our citizens should expect from our government. And I wanted to extend my thanks not only to Mrs. Mitchell, but to all of the City of Dover staff, all of the department heads. It's a tremendous effort and a tremendous product. And it is the result of what I think is a very mature and stable government that we have right now. We are not where we were even 4 years ago. We are in a much different place. We have people who are delivering on the things that we've asked. They do it without drama and without rancor, and we have our peaceable discussions about them, and I expect that to be the case tonight. So I will turn it over to Mrs. Mitchell at this point. I'm going to ask that, as we have done in the past, if we can let the presentations kind of go for a little bit, and we'll find those moments when we have questions, if we want to have questions at that time, and we'll keep an eye on the need for any kind of breaks that we may need. Okay. Mrs. Mitchell.
Good evening.
You got a wireless mic tonight because you plan to move around the room, is that it?
Yes, in case I needed to put hands on anybody, I thought I'd get a wireless mic. So, okay. So, first I want to start off by thanking council for their support and the committee members of each of our committees. I also want to introduce everybody to our new addition, Jeff Dill, the budget analyst that we took from finance. I also want to thank, and if you read my budget letter, Ms. Duca for the excellent work she did in helping me analyze the sanitation services. And I want to particularly thank the sanitation crew. I kept them up to date on what we were doing, as I try to do with all of our employees when we're looking at different options. And they never let the service dwindle the whole time we were going through this process. And I just really appreciated all the support they gave me while we were working through this. They probably knew the outcome before I knew the outcome, and that's why I had such cooperation. So I wanted to thank them as well. In the city, we have a motto, Community Excellence Through Quality Service. And I have an acronym here that I've shared with you earlier, where the Dover employees providing community service for public safety and public utilities. There are employees that have dedication, ownership, vision, excellence, and reliability. And this is going to be expanded to town hall meetings that we have to talk to the employees and let them know how much we appreciate the support that they give the city and its residents. And then, of course, over here we have our mission statement. Dover is a place where people want to live through the team effort of its elected officials. Is this working? Yeah. Elected officials, employees, and citizens. Dover is a clean and safe community with a future of balanced growth and opportunity where all citizens are heard, enjoy a high quality of life, and diversity is valued. And with those things in mind is how this budget was developed. So you will notice the budget first sheet has fiscal 2019 and beyond. We've talked about strategic goals. We had a retreat earlier, talked about futures, the future of the city, and we try to incorporate that into this budget. So this doesn't just go to 2019. This budget is to bring us beyond 2019. Hopefully I got this on. Okay. The executive summary, as Mr. Slavin stated, there's no property, excuse me, Council President Slavin. There's no property tax increase for fiscal 19, no sanitation rate increase. Extra duty rates remain the same. These will be reviewed after we're completion of contract negotiations. There is a recommendation for the development of a stormwater utility to bring back for mid-year consideration. It would, I say mid-year consideration, that would be the stormwater utility itself. The budget would go in effect next fiscal year. The wastewater fund, there's no proposed rate changes for FY19. The cost of service and rate design proposed to determine future revenue requirements for operations and capital maintenance, that is an item included in this budget. While we do our rates based on, can you all hear me? Everybody hear me? While we do our rates based on the forecast models and whether we're achieving positive cash, we don't analyze that to see if our rates are sufficient for capital. So I would like to have an outside consultant come in and do that analysis for us. The electric fund cost of service and rate design analysis was completed, and the revised rates and power cost adjustment will take effect on July 1st if the tariffs are approved. Those tariffs will be brought forward at the first reading of the budget ordinance. Our policy compliance, as we go through this every year, we have several financial policies that we strive to achieve each year when we do the budget. I'm not going to go through each of these policies. They should be familiar to you. I'll go to the next page. As you can see, we are out of compliance on the general fund, where our revenues must exceed our expenses or equal our expenses. We are also out of compliance with water and wastewater in that area. We are out of compliance on the water and wastewater where we have a the budget balance requirement. We're actually exceeding the budget balance requirement for those two funds. So while we are out of compliance, I noted in there the capital improvement transfers, because a lot of that compliance variance for the general fund is attributed to the $3 million that we're transferring for capital projects to the capital project fund. Last year, what I did to bring this in compliance is I reduced a quite considerable amount of that capital. It was only $1.2 million. So I've put that back in this budget with the understanding that we've got to start maintaining our assets, okay? And then we talk about the future. You spoke and we listened. This budget document not only reflects the city's spending plan for fiscal 19, it sets into motion the necessary tasks to prepare the city's strategic mission beyond fiscal 19. In doing so, this budget increases parks and recreation amenities and staff to provide quality recreational outlets for families. This budget puts more emphasis on economic development to create more job opportunities for our citizens, promotes programming collaboration with key stakeholders and community agencies, promotes public safety with the continuation of the police cadet program, and streamlines city intergovernmental services, thus enabling governmental departments to focus on their core mission. This budget includes plans to address our aging facilities with a path toward a municipal complex, parking improvements, Dover Park improvements, and to upgrade HVAC systems in city facilities. We analyzed the alternative scenarios for sanitation operations and made decisions based on service quality and cost. Ongoing analysis of creating an enterprise fund in the future to fully fund sanitation operations and capital costs through user fees. That's a consideration. Recommends a stormwater utility in the very near future to address the MS4 permit, stormwater operational, and infrastructure investments required of the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System as mandated by the federal government and administered by the State of Delaware Department of Natural Resources. Some of these recommendations will challenge us as we move forward into FY19. Our mission 10 years ago, I have put on your desk a little stat sheet. I'm not going to go through it, but that's for your information of where we were in 2000, 2009, and 2019. So it goes 20 years, 10 years ago, and 20 years ago. The mission 10 years ago was to advance the following policies and projects, however and whenever possible, was to establish a regional library in Dover, promote homeownership and affordable housing, maintain and approve the city's infrastructure and implement brown water solutions, strengthen property maintenance and enforcement, develop a plan to secure electric generation for the next 20 years, support the building of an inner-city cultural center, and create an economic development strategy. 2010, 10 years ago, City of Dover demographics, we had 287 less acres. I will elaborate a little bit. 150 of those acres are the Garrison Oak Technical Park, and 12 are Schutte Park from the Wyoming Mill Road design change. So the, out of the 287, 162 is two parcels in themselves. We had 1,394 less real estate parcels, and according to the U.S. Census, we had 5,723 less population. Planning for the future. What I see as our mission as we plan for the future is to create economic opportunities with three prongs: new business, existing business, and the citizens of Dover and local communities with quality jobs. City buildings and infrastructure, address space and energy efficiencies, address code compliance for city structures, create opportunities to reduce operating costs and centralize staff. Quality of life, we started there already with the Restore Central Dover, safe streets and neighborhoods, cadet programs, school resource officers, park amenities for families, and create opportunities for homeownership and affordable housing. Utilities, continue to address the water quality, continue to address the aging water and wastewater infrastructure, develop a stormwater strategy, the integrated resource plan for the electric utility, and opportunities for partnerships in new generation technologies and renewables. Accomplishing this mission, the components of the FY19 recommended budget to kickstart our mission. These components are staff for parks and recreation, amount of $213,400, and a maintenance facility that's in the CIP for $260,000 to house those employees and their equipment. Schutte Park master plan, the grading of donated land for the soccer fields, walking paths, and a parking lot has $70,000 in FY19. In this current fiscal year, we have $190,000 in this budget for that project in itself. So that's a total of $260,000 over the two-year period. Continuation of the work on the Dover Park master plan, we have $140,000 in next year's budget for that project, and there's $60,000 in this current fiscal year. That's for the design of the master plan. That $60,000 is $30,000 matched by the state, and that's $30,000 of city funds. The $140,000 for next year, $80,000 of that is out of the parkland reserve, and that is the $80,000 that the council set aside specifically for that park several years ago. Architectural and engineering fees for municipal complex and downtown parking garage is $200,000 in the city manager's budget. This, if we go the path of a P3, they would have the architectural and engineering already included, so this would be covering the legal costs for the P3. So that $200,000 could switch from architectural and engineering to legal, just so you're aware. Economic development partnership with the Kent Economic Partnership, $50,000 is included in the mayor's budget. Revitalizing downtown Dover with a collaborative program and a new Christmas lighting has $31,200 in there. In the grounds budget, temporary staff for program and support in the city clerk's library and human resources, $103,100. That temporary staff is to help us with some of it's to help us with scanning for the new financial system to get the documents scanned, our long-term documents we need to save, and then some of it is the Teleview, the television, the televised services. So that's what those dollars are for. Central Services Director is included. This is a new position I'm creating to oversee fleet facilities and procurement and inventory operations. That's $108,100 with benefits. And that is also to try to centralize all of our contracts under one area instead of each department handling their own. Short-term use of budget balances to assist in funding capital projects, $2,292,000. Use of capital reserves to help fund projects is $930,300. These were mostly in the general fund and some in the water sewer fund that we've used the capital reserve to help fund that general fund CIP. As you know, earlier I said we have $3 million going to capital, to the CIP. That's the transfer from the general fund. We're also taking money out of capital reserves to also fund those projects. So it's more like $3.5 million that we're taking between reserves and general fund transfer. Rate design and cost of service study for water wastewater utilities has the $60,000 in the water sewer fund. Consultant and legal fees for review of electric generation alternatives is $250,000 that we put in the electric fund to review proposals for in conjunction with the integrated resource plan. Recommendation of sanitation operations as a utility possibly in fiscal 1920, and the proposed stormwater utility to be presented later in FY19 to address the mandated operating and capital cost of the permit. I'm not going to go through this unless the major operating personnel, I've talked about what those positions were earlier. You can see the cost increases is $767,200 over the FY18 budget. I will tell you that the FOP and DOE contract are currently under negotiations, so all their data is not in this budget. There is no, the ASME and IBW has completed their contract negotiations. Their increases are included in this budget. I will tell you we do have a tentative for DOE that is included in this budget on economics, but we still have some other areas, and depend on how they come out as to whether that'll go forward or not. So I did include that, but the FOP we're nowhere near, so it's not included in this budget. That kind of went into my next slide. The non-bargaining pay increases based on the CPI and 1.8% and internal equity among the unions that we've been approving the contracts on, we're recommending a 3% pay increase for non-bargaining employees. That would equal approximately $127,400, and that would be split among the three major funds. The vacation sellback, that the city has a long-standing personnel policy that permits employees to sell back up to 80 vacation hours in the month of November based on years of service. This cost of this benefit was $295,700 in total compensation, and this budget excludes that vacation sellback for IBW and ASME. The DOE and FOP units are in negotiations, as I stated earlier, and a recommendation for non-bargaining will be brought forward with pay for performance at a later date. Give you an overview of the general fund. General fund revenues increased $1,048,500 or 2.4%. The major increases were the interfund service receipts of $263,900, transfer taxes $250,000. And that's mainly attributed to last year when we budgeted, we were expecting that decrease from the state. So this year we kept it to what it ended up being after the state didn't take the decrease. Property taxes, $248,800. The water wastewater utility transfer is up $100,000. Quarter chancery fees, $89,500. And the police pension grant, $51,000. There were no major decreases affecting revenues. However, I will caution that the police revenues were projected to come in $5,000 higher than the prior year, when actually last year they tracked lower, and they're tracking lower this year. So I'm not sure we'll meet those numbers. That would be the only one that I have concern about. General fund expenditures. The expenditure increase is $2,957,700 or 6.9%. Major increases and decreases affecting those is the transfer to the capital project fund of $1,645,100. This includes the PW2 cleanup, which is over $1 million in itself. No, we don't have any FY19 street program in this budget because of the PW2 cleanup costing us $1 million. So there's no street program for next year. Wages and benefits, $868,500. $424,600 is due to the personnel changes with the addition of the personnel. Street division is up $268,400 for disposal of street debris and MS4 permit-related items. The police department net increase was $51,000 with materials, supplies, training. It's offset $103,000 in vehicle maintenance by transferring the duties to the fleet division. And I'll just expand on this a little bit. In our fleet division, we had a mechanic that I was planning on eliminating. It seemed that the workload would have permitted us to do that. However, rather than eliminating that position, I've decided to hire that position, and I am recommending that we transfer the fleet maintenance for the police vehicles to our fleet crew rather than outsourcing it to the vendors that we outsource it to now, like Hertrick, Holden, Dodge, those. And so the budget numbers for that change will be the first time this year. Whether we come out close to those numbers or not, we'll find out, but I just want to let you know that's a new change in here, in this budget. So we'll be doing our own police vehicles for fleet maintenance. And we will be filling that position. The city manager's $200,000 for the strategic consultant and engineer, and the mayor's $50,000 for economic development, and the grounds $31,200 for the holiday lighting. Most of those are in our mission, what we talked about. Debt service is up $56,900 to include the increase for sanitation trucks. And the appropriation to the police and pension grant is down $125,500. That's because the state monies are down and we offset it with a transfer out. Retiree health insurance and other employment expenses are down $35,600. And I did put a note here, this does not reflect the adjustments made to individual division budgets in order to balance the budget. So that's that one. I'm just going to pass through these charts. The property taxes is calculated as usual. There, you will see that a 1 cent tax increase at the bottom is $314,000, in case anybody wanted to know that. Okay. If I'm going too fast, please feel free to raise your hand and ask me to slow down. The water wastewater fund, the revenue decrease over the FY18 original budget is $51,600, or minus 0.3%. It has a plus, it should be mine. Expense increase over the FY original 18 original budget is $825,200 or 5.5%. The major increases, decreases, I guess it is an increase. The major increases, decreases affecting revenues are water, wastewater service fees. They're down due to usage, $384,200, and impact fees are up $430,000 due to building permit increases. And I will expand on this a little bit. The water wastewater fund, where we have the transfers to from reserves to capital projects, all those transfers from reserves in the water wastewater fund are from the impact fee reserves. And that's what they're there for, is for improvements in our capital projects when we have growth related improvements. So that's why we have those monies being transferred to the CIP fund. Major increases and decreases affecting expenses. Program supplies for the high volume of water meter replacements or repairs are up $50,000. Consultant services, as I said before, for the rate study, $60,000. Interfund services, $48,500. Kent County treatment fees are down, $176,500 due to the flow volume. And then the increase in the wastewater transfer to the general fund is $100,000, and capital project appropriations is $698,000. $298,000 at 698 is a transfer to the electric I&E fund for the water wastewater fund share of the ERP system. The electric revenue fund revenue increased over FY18 original budget $1,568,700 or 1.9%. That is exclusive of the revenue reduction for our PPA credit of $2.8 million or a negative 3.4%. Expenses, this should say, decreased over FY18 budget, $3,466,200 or 4%. The major increases, decreases affecting revenues are strictly customer sales of $1.5 million. The major increases, decreases affecting expenses are power supply is down $794,500. Generation is up $305,500. Wages and benefits are down $118,100. Operating expenses increased $72,800 due to increased repairs at Wyant Hall and training, conference, and travel expenses. We have ramped up training and conference and travel on several of our departments because we are finding that we're lacking in training, so we have looked at those budgets just so everybody's aware of that. Contractual and legal expenses related to the IRP is $125,000. Internal service allocations are up $215,400. The OPEB appropriation was removed. We made an extra appropriation of $1 million last year for OPEB and pension, and both of those are not included in this year's budget. Capital project appropriations are up $1.4 million. and transfers to other accounts. We had a transfer to the rate stabilization reserve last year of $5.2 million, which is not included in this budget, but we do have a transfer to the depreciation reserve this year of $2.5 million, and that's to assist us with the decommission of the plant when the time comes. The next slide is just the trends of the rates and fee increases. I'm not going to go into this in a lot of detail either. You will just see that the electric rates, the residential rate change, and you'll see the PCA credit change, and the water transfer, wastewater transfer. And then we'll go into the electric rates and PCA credit. Let's see. The rate tariffs will be adopted as recommended by NewGen Strategies final report on the cost of service and rate design, phase one of that report. Adoption of the PCA credit of 0.00382, recommended distribution of earnings of $2,877,400, or approximately 3.5% of revenue, resulting in a lower cost of service than projected for FY17. We will need sometime during this budget discussion approval of a motion for that PCA credit, just so if you want to document that. The rate tariffs projections for phase two and phase three, subject to changes in the cost of power supply and actual results for FY19 and FY20. So those are not included in any of this presentation because we still have to get to those years to see the phase two and phase three, so they're not affecting FY19's rates. Let me back up a minute. We could probably do the PCA credit when we bring the tariffs forward the next meeting, June 11th. Okay. So, the other issue is we had a business retention rate that expired in June of 16. So I wanted to validate council's interest in letting that go as expired or maintaining the business retention rate. So that's another decision that we can make on June 11th if you don't want to make that tonight, but I wanted to let you know that that's out there. It has expired, so it can just be let go as expired, leave as expired, or if you wanted to change it. I just wanted to mention that. Planning for the future for the electric utility. We have the integrated resource plan. The generation plants, we have challenges on the availability of natural gas, air permit requirements, PJM performance penalties, Van Sant remote start and overhaul mitigates some of the risk, Unit 3 decommissioning, the timing of that, the future capacity, purchase power agreements, we can structure as long-term or short-term as we do for energy today, joint ownership and generation, our public-private partnership, solar energy or other renewable options, for example, wind, through a purchase power agreement, a partnership, a P3, self-build. And then we need to be prepared for industry changes. There's a lot of micro generators that customers are installing and batteries. And if the city doesn't keep up with the industry and the changes in the industry, we could fall behind and the value of our utility could deteriorate. So I want to make sure you all understood that too. Avant results, they have given me preliminary results for the plant. So I could do their budget or fine-tune their budget. Their preliminary results gave me some changes to CIP that could be put on hold until we have a return on investment or things that they didn't think were necessary. Between tonight and the first meeting in June, I will let you know if there was any more changes because the electric budget is not final just right yet. I will let you know of any changes before the first reading. And the reason why I say that is because they have made a recommendation of six less staff people at the plant. And I've asked the plant manager to give me a plan on how he plans to implement that recommendation by May 31st. So just so you know that there might be more reduction. It would be going down, if anything. It won't be going up. So just so everybody knows, right now they have the same staff in the budget. Okay? Next is the sanitation cost of service recommendation. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of how we got to this point. The concept of looking at outsourcing sanitation was to contract out sanitation services and redeploy personnel to other divisions where needed and create a separate parks and recreations grounds and maintenance crew. There was three options: sell outright, including equipment; city establish a franchise with one vendor; contract out, and the city manage the contract, like the recycling contract. One vendor has a customer service team that can handle all customer service inquiries. So if we went with a vendor like that, we would also cut down on the office staff workload. Or we maintain current service as is. The impact on operations that we considered: significant less fleet maintenance, reduced administrative and clerical functions, reduction in long-term capital costs, potential to bring in-house police vehicle maintenance or reduce fleet staff. We would need to contract out the pickup of animal carcass. We would need to contract out code enforcement debris pickups and charges to property owners. And some concerns were customer expectations and service levels. Outright sale may create multiple providers and route confusion unless you do a franchise agreement. A contractor would be expected to understand city street and alley network. Delaware Solid Waste Disposal Agreement and recycling and solid waste are tied together. That contract expires in 2021, and the recycling contract expires in 2021. So those were some of the considerations we had to keep in mind as well. So the conclusion of the outsourcing analysis is there is no barometer in which to measure our quality and level of service against. The residents of Dover would lose flexibility we have to adjust pickups and address unforeseen circumstances they encounter. The city would lose control of the customer service and ability to address the residents' concerns. The benefit costs and unfunded liabilities drive some of our costs. However, to maintain quality employees, we would expect to provide premium benefits. Based on the contract rates, we were able to ascertain from other entities that outsourced, the city would incur more costs, not less. And I will go through those numbers with you. The contract service for the total waste stream with no out-of-city service and no capital outlay showed in FY19 a projection loss. We would end up, it would cost us more by $478,800, or 26.9%. We would need increased rates to cover that. Now, the big part of that is the wages and benefits, because as you remember, when I started this discussion, it was to redeploy those individuals. So $780,900 is personnel that we did not reduce. Had we reduced the personnel, then we would have probably come out favorable. But I was looking to redeploy personnel because we have other needs. I'm not looking to reduce headcount. So that's really what created that negative number. So we basically can't outsource without reducing personnel and not increasing costs. The in-house service with total waste stream, no out-of-city service, and financing of the trucks, we lose $127,500, or this would create a rate increase of 14.6% to cover the cost of service. We are not recommending a rate increase at this time because we want to get through or finish our analysis on a utility fund. In-house service, out-of-city customers, it's 1.5% of our accounts, but it's 18% of the service territory. We are proposing to eliminate that. The loss on that service at the current rates, based on our projections, is $82,239 for the overall service for out-of-city. If you notice at the bottom, I mentioned earlier that we were increasing debt service for financing two trucks. Those two trucks, I took two trucks out of last year's budget, so we have them in this year's budget, but we're planning on financing them. The debt service is $34,400 versus a capital outlay to purchase them of $452,700. You will notice that the debt service is lower in most years, but when you get up to 2022, your debt service exceeds the capital outlay. When I did a schedule projecting out all of our trucks being financed, and it was over $500,000 in financing. So I think over the long haul, we do need to do cash outlay for these trucks, but we need to have the rates set that we can do the cash outlay. So planning for the future for sanitation, we're thinking about converting the sanitation operations to a utility to take effect in next fiscal year, and then calculate cost of service based on direct cost, overhead, and capital investments like we do our other utilities. Included in your packet, this is hard to read on the screen, but you have it in your binder. This was a comparison we did of the other communities and what their rates were and their services that they provide. I'm not going to go through all that either. If you have any questions, just let me know. The next area was the stormwater utility recommendation. And I'm not going to read all this. This has been provided to you in the past. In your binders, you have at the back of your binders the stormwater utility presentation that was provided to council by the past city manager. I put that in your packet so you would have that as read material to understand this issue. And all this same information is in those documents for you to read. I do want to go through the current challenges. The federal and state requirements have created challenges for all local governments with the biggest impact on the general fund budgets. The ability to provide for funds needed to maintain city facilities and capital investments. HVAC replacements and repairs in several city buildings. We have air quality issues. Reduced or $0 for street repaving and maintenance. Cost increases associated with the proper disposal of street debris to mitigate watershed contamination. And we have operating challenges of the maintenance of the tax ditches in Silver Lake. Stormwater retention pond inspections and maintenance, responsibility of both the city and the HOAs, flood issue mitigation in downtown Dover and several developments. We have a projected annual cost of $2 million to $2.5 million with capital improvements just to start and maintain as a general fund program. For us to maintain this in the general fund as we do today would require a 7 cent to 9 cent tax rate increase or 20%. The stormwater feasibility study was completed by AECOM in fiscal 2016. The study results were presented to the utility committee on July 12, 2016 with no recommendation. Copies of the presentation, as I mentioned earlier, are included in the draft budget binders. The 2016 study included the city taking over responsibilities of the Kent Conservation District and built in the cost of service around those parameters. Our proposal is to maintain the partnership we have with Kent Conservation District. The services provided by the Kent Conservation District were design reviews, works with the city on inspections and maintenance of city facilities, disposes of debris collected through their maintenance efforts. And then the next slide, is the expenses and of the stormwater expenses that is already included in your FY19 budget. There's Public Works Department, Street Department. There's staffing for each of those departments, and then there's materials and services for a total of operating cost of $848,270. Then we have capital projects of $1,183,000, which the most of is the Meeting House branch improvements. And if you recall, there was an engineering effort for the flooding on Water Street, the Bay Health parking lot flooding, and that whole Meeting House branch area. And that project came back at $17 million, that engineering estimate on that project for that flooding matter and getting those upgrades done to the stormwater system that needs to be made in that area. So these are the types of expenses that will hit the general fund unless we do a stormwater utility. And we won't be able to carve out the money we need to enhance the city assets, the facilities, the streets, the other things we need to do if we have to keep bearing this burden. I will tell you that I have done some research. The city of Newark just passed their stormwater utility. It's went into effect January 1st. The city of Wilmington, from my understanding, from what I read in their code, looks like they passed theirs back in 2008. I have to validate that, but I read that over the weekend, and I've gotten their documents so we can start working on this project. So that being said, planning for the future, staff will be tasked with developing a stormwater utility service fee to be billed monthly with the current utility billing, to be compatible with our utility billing software, set up fund accountant, draft an ordinance, and have it approved by council. And the next schedule is just the details behind those expenditure numbers in case anybody wanted to see them. I will tell you that in the prior presentation that was done, there was a greater amount of expenses. They had allocations of plant and inspection staff. They had a lot more staff and a lot more city costs in there than what we have in there today. So we've kept it limited to public works and those public works type projects. We didn't expand it to other divisions. Challenges going forward. These are my closing remarks, which are supposed to be after the break. So would you like me to move forward with them or take a break?
Why don't you push forward with them now, and then we'll break after this.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to read my narrative that I wrote here, and then I'll give you some expansion. The demands on resources attributed growth and aging infrastructure continue to create serious challenges for our citizens and staff. The city's current revenue levels do not support the funding needs for long-term improvements. Staffing levels needed to complete the required vegetation maintenance each year for city property, right-of-way maintenance, sidewalks, alleys, and city buildings are insufficient. Asset maintenance plans and replacement schedules are non-existent for city assets in several areas, parks, substations, stormwater, etc. A greater focus on police and code enforcement activities has been emphasized by the past and present council members. The Garrison Oak Technical Park was improved with an investment of $14.5 million of infrastructure, and we are yet to receive a positive return on this investment. Currently, we budget $201,000 for mowing and ditch maintenance. While we understand we need to continue to improve city amenities, we first need to catch up on all the deferred maintenance that has resulted from tight budgets over the past 10 years. We need to address staffing in the areas in which maintenance has fallen behind. We need to address our practice of staffing enough resources to operate daily with no one employee on a leave of absence, and we fall behind when other staff is on vacation or ill. An example of that is our sanitation department. We have 10 employees. All 10 of those are needed to run the trucks every day with the bulk, the automated trucks, and the handheld trucks. And we need every one of those employees working every day. When somebody is off on vacation or sick, the supervisor steps in to run a truck. If you got two people off, stuff doesn't get done. So that's where we're facing issues. We need to transition from being reactive to being proactive and anticipate the future needs. This budget takes one step towards achieving this objective with the Parks and Recreation Maintenance Crew and shoring up Central Services Department. After filling vacant positions and a review of all operations, we will be meeting with department heads to discuss where there are deficiencies as a result of staffing or where we can shift operations or staff if practical to do so. And I also included in the slide some of those same items that I just spoke of. So, and that's my closing remarks.
Okay, I think we're at a kind of a pause where we can take a, it's 6:44, we're back at 6:50. So we'll recess the meeting for right now.